Well, it's great to be with you today, and it's nice to be back. So last Sunday, I got to my family. We worshiped in my hometown church in Humboldt, Nebraska, which is population. You know, they every 10 years when a census is taken, you know, there's a population. It's like, I think it's currently 873. And so it's down. Down a couple thousand from when I was growing up, which is sad, but the church was awesome. All my cousins were there. There's one other guy cousin about my height. The rest are considerably taller than he and me, and so we'd make a killer basketball team, seriously. But anyway, it was just fun having people back. That was awesome. So we're in a series called Blessed. It comes from that word Makarios, which doesn't just mean happy, it means so much more than that. It means almost an urgency to it, like rescued, or there's a salvation component, or just that relieved type feeling. And so Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, and the Sermon on the Mount's a sermon he preached multiple times. It's recorded different places in the Gospels, in different orders, and so it's content that he shared more than once. But in Matthew, the first Gospel, the way he starts the Sermon on the Mount is with the Beatitudes, and he says, hey, blessed. Blessed are these people, and blessed are these people. And it was just this, like, almost upside down, what do you mean they're blessed? That doesn't sound right. and so he just kind of lays these out. And so it started a couple weeks ago. Terry Wilcox was here. He shared, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That means the ones who, apart from God, they don't have anything spiritually. They don't have enough spiritually. They're bankrupt spiritually. And so theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then following that, because these two fit together, those who acknowledge it, that condition, it's blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. They're mourning over that, and so they find their comfort in Christ. Well, last week then, Bob Knapp preached, and I heard it was amazing. He won't give me the file to put online, so I haven't seen it yet, but I will. I'm going to bug him until I get it. But I've heard from multiple people it was incredible. Just blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And the meek, another word for the meek, kind of with Greek, is the gentle, which again is a condition. It's not just a thought like, I'll be meek or I'll be gentle. There's something more in that. There's a character, a disposition that's powerful in that. And so coming out of that then is this week's beatitude, which is my absolute favorite. It's blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Man, this one's good. I love this one. Does anyone have a favorite beatitude? I'm just curious. Thank you, Dan. All right, two of us have a favorite beatitude. That's awesome. I don't know why I asked that anyway. Now I really don't know why I asked that. But this one's my favorite. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Here's the thing. I'd be willing to bet that every single one of us, and that's a pretty all-inclusive statement here, I'd be willing to bet we all have the same goal in life. And I'm not talking about the big goal, but just the one thing we never count this as a goal, but I bet you we all have it, is we want to be satisfied with everything. We're looking for satisfaction. Think about it, right? In almost any area of your life, we want to be satisfied. Yesterday morning, wow, we've been really short on sleep for like a week and a half, and we never sleep in, and it's like, yesterday, I don't know, I think I woke up at 7, which is incredible, and the windows were open, and the wind was coming through. It was quiet, except the wind was making noise, and I woke up just happy, blessed. I woke up satisfied, and I never just lay there without anything. Like, I just laid in bed for a while going, this is amazing. And I was awake. I was totally wide awake. Just so, there was such a satisfaction over my sleep, which felt really good. And just over the peace, the beautiful weather, the everything about it was perfect. I was satisfied and I loved it. How many times do you wake up and you're not satisfied, right? What about when you eat a meal? It used to be when I was like younger, to be satisfied meant I stuffed myself and it was incredible. And then I'm like, oh, afterwards, but I was satisfied. That doesn't work for me anymore. I don't want to be stuffed. Now I just want to be satisfied. I actually want to feel good after a meal. I don't want to just, how much did I eat? I want to be satisfied. That's something we want to be. We want to be satisfied with food. We want to be satisfied in relationship. Those of you who finished school, like you want to feel good about your school year. You want to be like, I did all right. I worked hard. I think the results showed. I want to be sad. You don't want to be, well, that wasn't good. You know, you want to be satisfied. You don't go to a movie wanting to be miserable. Like you want to be satisfied. Satisfaction plays such a major role in our life. And in, I mean, like, you can't take one aspect of your life and say, I don't really care if I'm satisfied. We want to be satisfied. We just don't say that out loud very often, right? And so this is what it's interesting. Jesus knows his people. And so as Jesus is speaking and he says, satisfied, you'll be satisfied. He knows that every person, that's like deep down what they want. I want to be satisfied. I want to be satisfied. So he's not speaking about any of these other types of areas of satisfaction. He's talking about something so much greater. He's talking about spiritual satisfaction. To be spiritually satisfied. If we're spiritually satisfied, we're going to be more satisfied than all the other satisfactions like put together. You see this all the time when if you have a great relationship with Jesus, you might have a sleep disorder and you're not sleeping well, but there's a satisfaction that's there, right? You might have a relationship that's really strained, but there's a satisfaction in having Jesus. Like there's just something different. So Jesus this is what he's referencing. It's a spiritual satisfaction. He's saying, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. He gets the whole idea of satisfaction. So that's the second part. What about the first part of the verse? He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So again, how many of you have been to Israel and seen the mountain, like from the Sermon on the Mount? Oh, you guys, I'm going soon. So, and everybody from the first service is going with me. They all wanted to. That's awesome. So I've pictured this so many times, just the spread of people. Here's Jesus. He's been going around. He started a new ministry. He's doing miracles that they hadn't seen before. And he's really good speaker, but his content's different. They say, but at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, they said, man, he speaks as one who had authority. There's just something different, and they know it. And so all these crowds are there to hear Jesus, and when he speaks, it's not what they expected. It's not the self-help message. It's not the everybody's going to be fine. In fact, it's literally upside down. It's just like, it's not what we were expecting, but this guy's got authority. And so if you could just picture the crowds there, and it's a whole bunch of people who are hard workers, who gave up something in order to come hear him preach, right? And so here's the reality. The day workers in Palestine at that time, they would eat meat once a week. That's what they could afford. And I think this gets so lost today is when Jesus uses the words hunger and thirst for righteousness, he's talking to a crowd that hungers all the time. They're not guaranteed a meal. In fact, there's other parables, the denarius, and like they would get a day's wages. That's not a day's wages that includes retirement, insurance, something to save, something, you know, obviously to tithe. I mean, it's a day's wages. It's they got to live off this. This is kind of it. It's a day's wage for a day's work. And so it was not uncommon at all for a day laborer to miss meals or not be able to provide for his family. This was the crowd that's listening. Starvation is actually not that far away from them. Like they think about that. It's a worry they have. It's probably not a worry very many of us have, is that I'm not going to be able to eat. Will I have groceries this week? But for them, they get it. And so when Jesus uses this word, as he's looking at this crowd, he knows who he's talking to. He knows that this is dire. And he says, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they'll be satisfied. It's so much greater than the food that one might hunger and thirst for, right? But man, we hunger for all kinds of things. We just do. We hunger for status. That's not new. I mean, they did 2,000 years ago as well. They'd hunger for status. They'd hunger for toys, things that you want to just play with, have. Big toys, little toys, doesn't matter. You know, abilities. I think it's a gift, not a curse. But I have this ability. I don't even try. I don't see commercials. I might even be looking at the TV, and for whatever reason, my brain's been trained to just shut off. And so people come up all the time. It's like, hey, have you seen this one commercial? I have no idea. We might have watched the same game that had the same commercial 5 times, and I did not. I might have seen it, but I didn't watch it. Like, I mean, I have no idea what they're talking about. That said, from X number of years ago, because this commercial really connected with me. It was a Gatorade commercial. I don't even drink Gatorade, right? But this commercial, and it sounds kind of weird, but the athletes were working hard and they were sweating, and they were sweating orange, or they were sweating blue, they were sweating red or green, like whatever color of Gatorade they were drinking. And there was something about that commercial. I was just ready. Like I resonated with that. And it's like sometimes we hunger and thirst for abilities, for athletic abilities, for academic abilities, for relational. I mean, and it's like we hunger and thirst for so many different things. And that's not wrong. I don't think it's wrong to get really excited about a meal you're gonna have, or a date you're gonna have, or I don't think that's wrong. It's an acknowledgement that we hunger and thirst for a whole lot of different things in our life. Okay, we do. It's not necessarily bad, but here's the thing. When Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. He's actually talking about hungering and thirsty for something you can't go off and get on your own. He's talking about hungering and thirsting for something that's actually given to you. So there's, theologically, in the just world of seminaries and that whole thing, there's very distinct two kinds of righteousness. Okay? It's a basic church doctrine principle, okay? And the first is passive righteousness. The second, of course, is active righteousness. But they're really distinct, and they're really important to keep distinct. Because passive righteousness is something that you just receive. You can't have the other kind of righteousness without the first. And so here's how it works. It's the basic gospel of salvation, that when if I receive righteousness from God, it's because I didn't do anything. Jesus did. Jesus did everything to make a way for me to be righteous. And so when he died on the cross, he set me free. He paid for my sins. He paid for your sins. Okay? you're still the same person, right? But when he died and we oftentimes use the word bestows, or he imparts his righteousness on a person. Passively, this person's Jesus is active, we're really passive and we just receive it. Before that, what am I? Blessed are the poor in spirit. I have nothing spiritually, right? Until I receive passive righteousness. And it's a gift and it's given and it's everything. It's the fullness of salvation. It's the whole package. It's everything right there. Okay, there's passive righteousness. And once I have passive righteousness, we oftentimes use these analogies, like clothed in his righteousness. It's a biblical thing. It's in the Bible. But that means spiritually clothed. That means we're wearing. That means we've received his righteousness. Okay, so once we've received his righteousness, then we have this incredible desire, this hunger and thirst for active righteousness, where we live it out, where we say, Jesus, I want to worship you. Jesus, I want to like surrender my life to you. Jesus, I want to love other people the way you love them. I want to love the people I don't really like very well the way you love them. Like that's active righteousness. And so in all of that, from the passive first to the active, Jesus is saying, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's because they've received righteousness, and then they're choosing to live out righteousness. They're living that out actively. And Jesus says, man, those are the ones that are going to be satisfied. They're going to be incredibly satisfied. What can that look like? If you would quickly turn in your Bibles to Luke 21. It's a short story, real short story. You've read it before. It's about a widow who gives an offering, right? So Luke 21, verse 1. So the very, very beginning of it. It's just four verses. It says this. So Jesus looked up and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. And he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. And so as a kid, when you're reading this, you go, those rich people are evil. You know, well, that's not at all what it's saying, okay? At all. And then, you know, you get older and you're like, well, this is a great passage on tithes and offerings. And yeah, it's really not about that either. That's kind of like that's the outside, like that's the visible. But there's a driver deeper within that I think this is really about. And it's about hungering and thirsting for righteousness. It's about having a heart so surrendered to Jesus, saying, I want to give all. I want to trust you with everything. So finances, yep, that's part of it. What about those who have a lifetime habit of worrying? It's saying, I'm gonna kill my worry, and I'm gonna surrender to you, and I'm not gonna worry anymore, Lord. It can be so many different things, relationship type things, right? I'm gonna just trust in you fully, Lord. Everything I have, I'm just pushing. I'm all out. I don't really play poker. All my chips are on the, whatever you call that, in the middle. The what? Oh, well, the table. Yeah. It's embarrassing. So this is why you don't start saying things you haven't, anyway, things that come. So yeah, whatever. But righteousness, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, this widow, right? She gave everything she had, far less than the wealthy. But Jesus says, like, look, though, there's something underneath that other people wouldn't see. She's like giving all her trust. She's putting everything into the hands of the Father. That's pursuing, that's hungering and thirsting for righteousness. It's like whatever that thing is to surrender, it's saying, Lord, I want everything I have. I want to be like you. I want to think like you. I want to love like you. I want to give like you. I just want to have a heart like you. This is a act of righteousness. This is what that looks like, to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And okay, so what if we hunger in this world? Have you ever noticed that our appetites are not consistent at all? How many of you could just eat a massive amount of food one day, including late at night, and then you go to bed, you wake up in the morning, and you're hungry. And you're like, how does that happen? And other times, for whatever reason, you've just been busy, and you've been active all day, and you've hardly eaten, and you're like, I'm just not that hungry. You could be driving to pizza, and you're already smelling, you're already imagining it, right? You're so excited, and your car hits a skunk. And all of a sudden, you're like, I am not hungry anymore. And that'll kill an appetite. You notice that, right? Our appetites are not consistent. But do you know that just go here for a moment, the elite athlete, okay? Some of the healthiest people in the world, do you know they have rhythm when they schedule their food, right? Do you remember like a decade ago, Michael Phelps, that swimmer guy? Remember he was eating 12,000 calories a day. Guys, that's a lot. That's like a weekly amount for a lot of us. But a day, his body needed it, and he was stuffed. He wasn't hungry. I went to school and had friends on a football team, and they would all, every one of them would complain. They're like, I'm stuffed. Like, they always had to eat. They had to keep refueling. They had to take these shakes. After dinner, they had to take shakes home with them, and they were expected to drink them, and they were just always stuffed, and yet they were in incredible shape. And it's like, there's to be at that elite physical level, like, there's a certain rhythm. There's intermittent fasting. But there's a rhythm that you keep for eating. It's for physical health. What if you're trying to be elite spiritually? Not among each other, not like comparing, contrasting, but just have this incredible relationship with the Lord. What if you're hungering and thirsting for righteousness? Just like the athlete who's not always hungry but has to eat, like it's in the schedule, so I have to do this. Do you know that spiritually we're not always in the mood? We're just not. How many of you ever do a Bible reading plan? There are days you're not in the mood. I mean, you're not in the mood to do it, but you do it. Do you know that's not like offensive to God? That we always say, don't go through the motions. Do you know if you have a goal, if you have a plan, or if you're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, and you're just not hungry or thirsty at the moment, and maybe it's been 2-3 days, and you're just, I don't know what I'm doing wrong, Lord, but I'm not enjoying reading scripture. I'm not enjoying prayer. I don't know. But do you know when you still honor and give the time to the Lord, he still does something with that. It's still an encounter with you that he has. Like, there's growth in those moments. And I want to say that we need rhythm. Just like the athlete needs it physically for food, we all need it spiritually. When we hunger and thirst for righteousness so that we may be satisfied, we're saying, look, Lord, I'm going to keep this. I'm going to keep a rhythm. I'm going to find a rhythm, and I'm going to keep a rhythm. Whether I'm in the mood or not, that's irrelevant. I'm going to find this because you're worth it, and I know what I want. I want to be close to you. I'm hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Only the meek do that. Only those who are meek and inheriting the earth will follow up with that and hunger and thirst for righteousness. I been on so many different mission trips and love them, to Southern Africa a couple times, to Mexico, Belize, like just different places. And every single time there's children, right? Love the kids. And there's a bunch of kids and they all get super excited and they want something, which is a whole different message. But they're always wanting something and different kids, like they shout louder. Some of them have the best personalities you'd ever find. I mean, they're just talkative. They know how to work. They know how to work the white guy, okay? You know, and it's like, they're totally just really good and they're really entertaining and they're fun to laugh with and all that. But then you look back and back, they're quieter kids. The kids who maybe they're just not bold. Maybe they're really shy. Maybe they're just really nice and polite. Maybe they're just patient. But I'm always attracted to the group in the back that are just calm. And so, like, I don't know. And I think so oftentimes in life, we hunger, we thirst for the temporary thing, right? The pleasure that's immediate, what I can get right now. We want that. We're seeking after that. It's a fleeting desire, but it's like it's what we want, and we'll fight for it. We'll elbow for it. We'll do anything we can to compete and get it. And that's not always wrong, depending what it is. But when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we're hungering and thirsting for something that looks totally different. We're like those kids in the back who know there's something greater. There's something more. There's something different than food or candy or whatever. Like there's something so much more. So what does it look like? I'm going to just end with this. I have two things. What tangibly, what practically can it look like to hunger and thirst for righteousness? And the first thing is just straight up humility. It kind of goes with being meek. But humility, and I don't know who to give credit to on this. I've heard it from all over. But humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. That's totally what it is. Humility, it's not thinking poorly about yourself. Oh, poor me. I'm not very good, or I got problems. No, it's actually not doing that at all, but it's not prioritizing yourself and throwing yourself into the best social status everywhere you go and like the best standing, like, hey, it's me, I need this. It's actually removing yourself. So when John the Baptist said, it's gotta be less of me and more of him, right? When Christ made his appearance, John's like, that's who I'm pointing to, right there, that guy. That's Jesus. So humility, if we want to actively hunger and thirst for righteousness, it does start with humility. And the second, the other thing, the last thing here is joy. In joy is satisfaction. I've watched for a long time people who don't have on the surface the best lives, but they carry incredible joy everywhere they go. I'm like, those are the most satisfied people I know. See, joy is acknowledging that God can do something for me better than I can do myself. He wants to do better for me than I even want to do for myself. Like he truly does. Joy is saying, look, I might have a sleep deprivation problem, and so my sleep is not satisfied at all, but if I choose joy, I'm choosing that my God is incredible. I have joy with him. I'm hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Like I'm pursuing him, and even though I'm not sleeping well, and so I'm really tired, I have peace. I have joy in that. It's when a relationship is not in a healthy place at all. And it's saying, like, Lord, this relationship we have to get this figured out. This has to get restored. But I'm having joy because I know who I am in you. I know what you've done for me. I've received power. passive righteousness and I'm living active righteousness. And I'm pursuing you all the way. That's saying I'm gonna carry joy even though certain things in my life aren't good. And maybe some things in my life are falling apart around me, but I got joy because I'm pursuing. It's satisfaction, right? Even though we want satisfaction in absolutely every area of our life, the one that makes the difference is the spiritual. It's the one Jesus is speaking about on this beatitude. He's saying those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they're gonna be satisfied. They're gonna be satisfied in a way that no other work, no other satisfaction could ever attain to because it's spiritual. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness and your incredible gift of righteousness. To be clothed, to be given, to get to wear, to get to have, and not lose and not wear out righteousness that comes from you. Lord, would you give us such a heart to pursue the so actively the righteousness that comes from you? God, we'll find our satisfaction with you. Not just doing things for you, but actually with you. So God, just put a covering, put a blessing over us to actively pursue righteousness this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right.